The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prop G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special three-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the Future of Entrepreneurship, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prop G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
What is going on, y'all? We are back. It is another edition of No Bets Barred. This time, UFC Kansas City, the blessed versus the almighty Max Holloway taking on Arnold Allen. And rumor has it, I cannot confirm or deny this, but I think someone close to the pod here can. We will have boots on the ground in
boots
Kansas
on the ground.
City.
We will, Jed Meshew, MMAfighter.com, great website, will be in attendance. Kansas City at the T-Mobile Center to watch. You know, Connor, I feel like an idiot right now because until you gave that intro, I never once thought, oh, this is Max Blessed Holloway taking on the Almighty. How can a man who is blessed by the Almighty defeat the Almighty? We'll get into that and more on this edition of No Bets Barred.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I feel like we swung and missed not just doing this the day after 287 on Easter Sunday, and we just get the blessed versus the almighty, and we just really take that theme with it.
A lot of mistakes were made. We'll get better. We'll grow from this. We'll improve for the next time out.
Yeah, I mean, before we recap 287, I just have to say I am, like, so hyped for this main event. Like, I cannot wait for it.
Very much
Arnold
so.
Allen. Undefeated in the UFC, 10-0, second longest active winning streak in the UFC right now, going up against, obviously, former featherweight champion Max Holloway, one of the most exciting fighters in the octagon. Like, I can't wait for this one.
Same. I mean, the main event is electric. That's part of the reason I'm going, part of the reason I'm so excited about going. And look, maybe I'm coming to this with, you know, the rose-colored glasses of a man who will be sitting cage-side, but I think the rest of this card is decent. I'm not here to say it's great.
No, it's decent, dude. I'm excited for it.
Great, but there are matchups here that are at least interesting in their own way. A couple of live dogs we'll get into.
Oh, there's a couple of live dogs.
And when it's capped off by a main event of this quality, this is a weekend I'm pretty happy to be an MMA fan.
I've got two bias bets and two revenge bets. So I don't know what could possibly go wrong there.
I love revenge. So I'm
you're
going
to have to be
hear.
On one of them. And that's all I'm going to say about that. We'll get into it when we get there. You're going to have to be on one of them. Let's go back to UFC 287, though. You said Israel Adesanya round one KO. I said Israel Adesanya round three KO. He met in the middle.
What idiots. What
and
idiots
got,
we
and
are.
Got round two.
You know, I felt so stupid by saying round one KO as that fight was playing out. I was like, I'm just an idiot. He's come out here. He's doing is different, but it's still, there's just not going to be enough collisions for this to happen. And then damn, if it didn't happen, you know, 4 minutes later, I was like, I was just too aggressive.
The moment, the arrows, the going for the kid, the speech afterward. I mean, everything. It was definitely one, however you feel about it, whoever you were cheering for, it is absolutely one of the defining moments in UFC history as we move forward. That is one that we are going to look back on. And it's going to be one of those, like, I remember when that happened. I remember where I was at. I remember what I was doing there. Absolute insanity from Israel Adesanya to get the belt back.
Yeah, just scenes. It's the moment of the year. Probably gonna hold on to that.
Gonna be tough.
Something crazy happens.
Gonna be tough to top.
And we're talking about a year that's had some big moments. I mean, who can forget Valentina Shevchenko getting robbed? But
robbery.
Absolute highway robbery. Getting submitted by Alexa Grasso. So some big moments this year, but that is certainly among them. So it was a good weekend.
I mean, dude, fun card. It felt like the crowd was there. Our Jorge bet never had a hope.
No chance.
It was as the week went on, I like kept trying to talk myself into it. I was like, it's gonna happen. But like the more I kept trying to talk myself into it and the more I saw of him as the week went on, I was like, he's just gonna get worked out there. And that's kind of what happened. He hung tough, didn't get finished, but like was never live for a finish, never really presented any real danger to Gilbert. And that was kind of that. Just sort of another one of those, it just falls right into the bin with Jared Vandera by sub.
You know, never happened. I did have a couple of over bets, so.
Nice, that is nice.
I was very happy that he just hung tough.
Tough
dude. That
was
pretty cool.
Tough dude, hard to finish.
But yeah, pretty early on, certainly the first round was competitive until the end of it. I mean, it wasn't compelling, but no man was running away with it. And then Gilbert kind of just puts a stamp on it at the end. And the moment that happened, I was like, well, this is done. This this is how this fight is going from now on. So chalk it up as an L. I had a lot of nerves for the main event. Did not feel confident about the Izzy bets down at all with the walkout. When Pereira showed up to the arena in the John Wick suit, I was oh God, I've made a terrible mistake.
That's tough. Rob Font, unbelievable showing from
my
him.
Boy had a tough one.
Yeah.
My boy had a tough scene there.
That was incredibly impressive stuff from Rob Font. Kelvin Gastelum back in the win column. Chris
Chat
Curtis.
ChatGPT, baby.
Shout out to the ChatGPT bet. Chris Curtis not happy about it. He is letting people know on Twitter. You should let him know ChatGPT said he was going to lose, and that did come to fruition.
Blame the machines, Chris Curtis. It's their fault.
Blame the machines. Joe Pfeiffer, your guy. Hard to not be his guy after his appearance on the MMA Hour yesterday. Hard to not be his guy.
I wanted to talk to you about that because when he's on the hour yesterday, I was watching. I was like, when we record No Bets Barred, there's no way that Pfeiffer is not now the Conor Burks guy.
I mean, the way that he just like, that was, Gerald Meerschaert was easily my worst bet of the night. You know, Jorge was bad, but like he at least made it to a decision and like, just maybe.
Plus the odds were way jacked
up
on him.
They were way more jacked
up. The
Gerald Meerschaert one, I was just like, he's got to take him down or he's just dead. And then it was just like rocked, curled up, over. I was just like, whew, that was a bad bet. That was a terrible bet. Calvillo fought for my money. That was nice.
Calvillo
didn't get it done,
for your money.
But she fought for my money.
But she scrapped it up.
Yeah, fun card. It was a winning week for me on the UFC. But I got reverse sweeped on PFL, and I'd like to come on to No Bets Barred today, this Tuesday, April 11th, when we're recording this, and just make an announcement, a declaration, done. Done betting on PFL.
We're banning the PFL.
You're wearing a PFL shirt. I feel like you're almost,
sure
I feel like you're taunting me. I think you're mocking me. I'm actually, I'm going to extend
it.
I'm going to extend it. PFL and Bellator off limits. For me,
Bellator,
I'm
catching
just,
strays.
Just going UFC until I can write this ship. It's the promotion that I know the most about, that I can get the deepest on tape study, that has the most statistics. It has been my most profitable promotion by far. I'll make my return to PFL once we get into the playoffs, once we get into the championships. But
that's interesting. I mean, watching, I understand it.
Watching Aspen Ladd, that's what made me do it. That's what made me do it. I stopped watching the card after the Aspen Ladd fight. I was just like, nope, can't do this. I cannot do this anymore. That was just so frustrating to watch. And yeah, killed two bets. It's my own fault. Listen, I'm not blaming anyone but myself for trusting Aspen Ladd with my money. That is completely on me. I just like, I wanted to put that out in the universe. And I went to bed. I had Pacheco inside the distance too. Got a great line, beat the line movement. I was like, oh man, felt good about that. But after the Aspen Ladd performance, I was like, I'm getting reverse sweep. There's no doubt. Pacheco by decision is now a lock. Go to bed, wake up the next morning, Pacheco won by decision. I was like, that's it. I'm done. I got to swear it off for now.
That's a shame. I don't have much PFL action this week, but there is one bet that I do like, so I'll lead us off. I'll just put this out here.
Put it out there.
And then
please,
we can move away from PFL. We don't have to make you relive it.
I get the Twitter notifications from Best Fight Odds and FightOdds.io, so I know when odds drop. Mm-hmm. They dropped the PFL 3 lines, and I was just like, nah, get this out of here.
That
not
is
even
a
res- look. Not
a
even going to look.
Responsible young man. But I do like the Shane Burgos straight up. He's in a slight underdog to Olivier Aubin-Mercier.
Is the fight in New York? +115
I'm interested in Mr. Shane Burgos coming into this season. I think he's got a real good chance to take the Millie, and so I'm here on this one.
Yeah, I mean, coming from the UFC, like, you have to have a little bit of confidence in him going against OAM. I would feel much more confident if it was Big Apple Burgos, if this was taking place in New York City, then you could get me off the bench here and get back into the game for PFL.
Legendary fighter, Big Apple Burgos. Legendary. Can't wait for the PFL at some point to go to New York with him.
Legendary. All right, that was UFC 287. That was PFL 2 last week. And now we dive in. UFC Kansas City. We mentioned it at the top, the Blessed versus the Almighty. Main event, featherweight bout. Arnold Allen, Max Holloway. Feels like if Arnold Allen gets this done, he's next in line for a title shot after Volkanovski Yair.
1,000%. If he beats Max Holloway and doesn't get a title fight,
something's up.
Something is wrong with this world. And I've become the resident hater of Alexander Volkanovski somehow, and I'm okay with it. I didn't choose this life. This life chose me, but I think even Alexander Volkanovski will have to acknowledge that his desperate attempts to get another lightweight title fight rest entirely on Max Holloway to be victorious. Because if Max gets a win and Volk can beat Yair, then maybe he does get to get himself back to a lightweight title shot. But if he doesn't, if Arnold Allen wins, I think even Volk has to admit, well, That's next business after I deal with the IA.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no question of who the clear number one contender is. He'll be 11-0 in the promotion at that point, and 20-1 overall with some huge wins. Now when it gets to the fight itself, I mean, we mentioned it last week as we were signing off. Arnold Allen, friend of the program, kind of our guy. This is bias bet number one.
Love him.
Took Arnold Allen plus money. How does he get it done? He's got it. Like,
where'd you get him at?
I took him at +150, but I saw some books with better.
Okay.
Have you taken him yet?
I got him at +155 earlier today. Yeah.
He is currently sitting at +155. Yeah, currently sitting at +155. I saw one book like +170, +175 earlier. I don't know if that's gonna like just keep going up and down. Like these lines have kind of been all over the place this week. Like he has to mix it up. He just can't stand and just box there with Max Holloway. That just feels like it's going to end poorly for him. Got to get physical. It's a tall task ahead of Arnold Allen.
Look, it's a tough style matchup in some ways, but I think maybe this is biased me just being like, here's I manifesting what I want to happen. I think he's got ways forward. One, the biggest part to this to me, I feel confident about this, so take that, you know, for whatever it's worth. I think Max Holloway is on the decline.
Okay,
I think
all right.
We saw that in the Volkanovski third fight. And part of that is certainly Alexander Volkanovski is a bad style matchup and an unbelievable fighter. But I also think a piece of that is that Max is he's lost his fastball a little bit. And that's what happens. He's been in this game a long time. And look, he beat Yair Rodriguez, but Yair took a piece of him that night because that's what happens in fights like that. I think the miles are just adding up. And so he's slowing up a bit, which is a ideal opportunity for Arnold Allen, who I think you said it, physical is the right word. He can't box with Max Holloway, but he can throw big, heavy counter shots when Max Holloway is trying to get his game going, mix in takedowns, clinch work, physicality, and just wear on this guy who's got a lot of miles on him. So I I'm on him and I feel okay about it. And I'm also backing Arnold Allen by decision, numbers plus 330. If he wins, I would be pretty shocked if he gets Max Holloway out of there. If he does, then incredible. But Max Holloway's been finished once in his career. Unbelievably durable dude. I doubt Arnold is getting a finish. So getting all that extra juice on the bye decision, I doubled up.
Yeah, I don't see a world where he gets him out of there. I was watching some tape, and I was like, he used to throw up some front chokes, some guillotines. I was like, man, maybe I burned some money on another sub prop. I was like, nah, I don't think that's what's going to happen. And if they're standing and trading, it's a hard world to imagine someone getting Max Holloway out of there like that. I'm with you, though. Like, you got to apply a lot of pressure. I would love to see him use the clinch. I would love to see him mix in a takedown or two. Like, we have seen him do it in the past. But, like, the game plan cannot be to just go out there and try and fight at range with Max Holloway. I mean, no matter how over the hill you think he is, that still won't work out well for Arnold Allen, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I don't think that will be the game plan. I think he's going to mix it up and recognize that Max has good takedown defense, but it lessens as the fight wears on. You can get him down. And so I think you can't be afraid to exchange on the feet, but you've just got to be a comprehensive mixed martial artist. You got to bring everything. You got to have defense on point. And you can't let Max get rolling, because once Max gets that head full of steam, it's tough. But
then he's grabbing your hands and he's telling you he's the best boxer in the UFC, and he's giving you lessons in the fourth round.
Confidence out of the yeah. So I think we're going to see a lot of low kicks from Arnold Allen, a lot of chopping the tree down, a lot of big, heavy counter shots, trying to disrupt Max from building too much of a rhythm, takedowns, clinch work, physicality, and a new contender. Because I've been on this corner for a minute. I think Arnold Allen's the next featherweight champion. I think he is the guy who's going to beat Alexander Volkanovski. Got a huge task ahead of him this weekend.
Huge.
But I'm riding with Almighty.
If you're going to say anything about Arnold Allen, the dude is in shape. The dude is in crazy shape. The whole family is all about physical fitness. Like, I don't worry about him lasting over the five rounds here. And like, another thing that's just crazy, just going back and not only watching tape on the guy, but just breaking down his record. Like, he is 19-1. He is 10-0 in the UFC. Like, this guy wins fights a lot.
He's so good. And it's fitting. Like, you know, I don't know if you saw the images of him, but he, you know, training with Leon Edwards and Ian Garry.
Shout
it's fitting
because
in a lot of ways, he's Leon Edwards, right? Like, he is. This guy is on an infinite fight win streak. Like, what's 12 fights in a row, 10 in the UFC or something like that. And he's still in a position where he has to win one to get a title fight, where fans are like, well, I don't care that he's won 10 in a row. Volkanovski doesn't have anybody to fight. He's cleaned out the division. I don't know. Maybe fight the guy who's literally never lost in the UFC in your weight class and just be the top five guy in Calvin Kattar. Doesn't get the respect he deserves, and I'm hoping that this weekend he gets a win that's unimpeachable, that nobody can decry, can be like, all right, Arnold Allen's here, time to give this man his propers and let him fight for a belt.
Yeah, and I mean, I love that we're getting this matchup. I think it's going to be incredible, and maybe wouldn't be back. I guess I probably would, because it's just a biased bet. Arnold Allen is our guy. I like that we're getting dog money on him. I think that's probably, I thought it'd be a little bit closer, but I think it is probably correct with everything that Holloway has done in his career. And you mentioned by decision. So what what you're going to help me with as we move through this podcast, I'm building a pacifist parlay, the classic Seaburks, the classic Seaburks move, getting back to my roots, a little over 1.5 parlay. We're starting here. This is leg one. I mean, if you want me to break it down.
I also have this in a parlay that's not all the way built that I likewise was hoping you might help. I need a third leg. I got two legs that I feel rock solid, but I need one more leg to complete the pyramid. So
yeah, right now it's sitting at -550, and like to me that's just a bingo parlay piece. Like -550, perfect number for a parlay piece. Allen, before his last two fights, you know, obviously the injury with Calvin Kattar, and then just bum rushing Dan Hooker in front of that London crowd. 8 UFC fights, all went over the 1.5. Max, 7 straight fights have gone the distance in 5 round affairs, 13 straight over the 1.5. Really like that as a parlay piece. Think this one goes long. I think it more than likely goes to a decision. I've seen that over 4.5 number is coming down. Like I think it opened at -175. I want to say last I saw it was like -130 or something. That feels like it's coming down. If at any point I got goes to a decision, like right now it's like -120. If that got to plus money for some reason, I would definitely take a little poke on that as well.
I mean, honestly, yes, 1,000% in agreement if it's that. I think overwhelmingly likely this is going to the scorecards. And it's certainly going to go over 3.5. You know, like we're talking late in for this. So, yeah, I'm with you on the 1.5. I stole the classic Seaburks parlay piece. I have one other leg that maybe we share. We'll see. But yeah, I'm all over this fight right now. I have a lot of action tied into this.
I have 5 very solid options. I think I've got 2 that I've locked in, and then I'm looking to add a third from the last 3 options. But I'm doing a 3-legger.
I think 3 legs is pristine. I hope I'm excited to hear yours so I can find the one that I like the best to slot in to finish my parlay.
We will build it as we move along.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out as the NBA postseason winds down, and new customers to DraftKings can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Next up, let's keep it rolling to the co-main event of the evening. Billy Q getting back in the octagon after a big win over Alex Hernandez back at UFC 282, I believe it was. A back-and-forth affair that it looked like Billy Q was going to get finished at one point, but he does come out victorious. Right now, you can get Billy Q's, the favorite, minus 175, up against Edson Barboza. Barboza going at plus 150. Get him out of the way fast. Just get him out of the way quick. This is bias bet number two for me. I have been a Billy Q backer for a couple fights now. He's cost me, but he's also won me. Great on MMA Twitter. And also, he's just the volume king. I mean, he is going to put strikes out there. He is going to be the more active fighter in almost every fight that he's in. Almost 8 strikes landed per minute, 7.88, the most in featherweight history. I went back and watched that Bryce Mitchell Barboza fight. Not only does Mitchell go 4-for-4 in takedowns, I don't know if we're going to see Billy Q go for takedowns, but he has done it before. Like, it wouldn't shock me. He found some success on the feet against Edson Barboza. I think Billy Q can do the same. He is tough as nails, man. We have seen him eat some huge shots, keep moving forward. If you go back and watch that Burgos fight, like, oh my gosh, was that a banger. He ate some big shots from Burgos, went through the fire last time out. I think he's tough. I think he can survive whatever Edson has for him, and I think he's going to outpoint him with that volume, weaponize that volume, and get it done by decision.
I had a lot of tough reads on this fight, because I got two minds here, right? Like, we just saw a fight pretty similar to this last week, in my opinion. The Fontanez fight is a massive step up in competition for Billy Q, as far as I'm concerned. And last week I was on the Billy Q side of things, right? You know, I took Adrian Yanez as the favorite and got the hand bit,
I like this comparison.
Barboza, if you look at his resume and certainly his record lately,
killers.
A lot of losses
against killers, though.
He has been fighting the best guys possible.
Oh, yeah.
He is one of the most insane resumes, just looking at quality of competition. Not taking out wins and losses, just who he's fought better than, like, a ton of UFC champions currently. Like, for a decade of just fighting hitter after hitter. The worst guy he's fought is Makhwan Amirkhani, who's, like, at least quality, and he defeated Makhwan Amirkhani. So I like Billy Q. I think he's a fun fighter. He is definitely not on the level of the guys, in my opinion, on the level of the guys that Edson has lost to. So this would, to me, be the worst loss kind of Edson's career. But at 37... a lot of mileage, a lot of beatdowns, and the book is out on him. Like, there's a pretty clear way to attack him, and Billy Q can do that. I don't feel great about it. Here's the thing that ultimately set my bet for me.
Tell me.
It's a statistical factoid about Billy Q. He gets hit a lot.
Oh, for sure.
Statistical defense is 40%. That's really bad. And if you, that bears out, if you just watch, because he's throwing so much volume, he is making chaos. He gets hit a lot, and you don't want to get hit by Edson Barboza at all. I didn't want to take Barboza straight. I didn't think there's enough juice on that. So I'm throwing a half unit shot on Barboza by KO.
Wow.
Plus 375.
Wow.
I was a little shocked to see Barboza by KO is plus 375 just because of how much Billy Q does get hit. And if Barboza lands a big one, I think it will be lights out. You know, if I'm just picking straight up, my guess is that Billy Q, like you said, kind of overwhelms him, just keeps bringing the pressure, because that has been a weakness for Barboza. But the defensive questions, plus 375 is a big number, just a little half unit on it.
Just, like, to give some respect to Edson Barboza, because, like, I cannot disrespect anyone for taking him as a dog here. Yeah, he's 3-7 in his last 10. But if you just look at these losses, Bryce Mitchell, Giga Chikadze, Dan Ige, Paul Felder, Justin Gaethje, Kevin Lee, and Khabib Nurmagomedov.
That's a lot. It's a lot of guys that are very good.
Not a single one of those dudes can you shame someone for losing to. I mean, like, he fought and beat Benil Dariush.
And his wins.
Like,
his
beat Shane Dan Burgos, Hooker. Beat Shane Burgos.
Shane Burgos, who I was just talking about, he beat Dan Hooker. Benny Dariush,
Gilbert Melendez.
A lightweight title shot, Benny Dariush.
Anthony Pettis. Last loss before the ones I just mentioned. Tony Ferguson. Michael Johnson. Also beat Paul Felder.
And the split that he lost to Paul Felder, I thought he won. I also thought he beat Dan Ige in the split he lost to Dan Ige in his featherweight debut. Like, he has...
Bobby Green.
His last two performances have been tough. Giga ran over him, and so did Bryce. And so the question is, does he still have his fastball? And he may not. But it's hard to say that... I mean, this is just such... This is a clear step down for him, in my opinion. Definitely. And a huge step up for Billy Q. And so it's... last week I was on the other side and I was an idiot. So this week I'm trying to learn. I'm trying to learn, Connor.
Respect. No. And it's flipped because I'm a little biased to Billy Q. You were a little biased to Adrian Giannis.
Oh, yes, for sure.
Just one more time here. Since November of 2020, November 22nd of 2014, Edson Barboza's opponents, Bobby Green, Michael Johnson, Paul Felder, Tony Ferguson, Anthony Pettis, Gilbert Melendez, Beneil Dariush, Khabib Nurmagomedov, Kevin Lee, Dan Hooker, Justin Gaethje, Paul Felder, Dan Ige, Makwan Americani, Shane Burgos, Giga Chikadze, Bryce Mitchell. That is crazy.
So I'm just looking at this quickly. That's five lightweight champions, four in the UFC, Gilbert Melendez is strike force. Another two dudes who fought for the lightweight title are among that. That is an insane run of people.
That is his last 9 years. Every single time he's gone to the octagon, it has been against a just absolute murderer. Like, that is, shout out to Edson Barboza, man.
It's great. Hell of a career. Can't wait to talk about him on Damn They Were Good one day.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's keep it rolling on the main card. A light heavyweight bout. Dustin Jacoby taking on Azamat Mirzakhanov. Right now, you can have Jacoby. This line has, as many of these lines have, this has been coming back Mirzakhanov's way pretty heavy. Jacoby opened at like a minus 210. Right now, he's at minus 165. Mirzakhanov coming back plus 140. I thought about playing Jacoby before I saw the lines. At almost 2-1, I wasn't really that interested just because Azamat's undefeated. He's knocked out all three dudes he's fought in the UFC. I understand he's an undersized light heavyweight. He'll be undersized in this matchup. Dustin Jacoby is a fantastic kickboxer and striker, but I don't know. Just at that price tag, I found some other bets that I wanted to make, so I'm just staying away on this one.
So I've yet to place a bet because that line movement has kept coming towards Murs, and I want to see if it keeps moving that way because this feels like a great spot for Jacoby.
If you get Jacoby at like what, like minus 130? Like, I don't know if it's going to get that low, but it's been steady dropping.
I feel good about him at minus 150, and I still am kind of okay with it. I've been debating whether I should just take it now in case it pops back up or if I keep seeing it drop.
There's been one book that's had him at minus 159 since Monday. Hasn't changed yet.
Might be nothing off.
Yeah, I might keep my eye on that. Like, if it gets down to, like you said, minus 150, minus 145, I might take a poke on Dustin.
It's minus 150, I'm for sure taking a poke. I may still just go 165 here. Like, I mean, he's looked so good since coming back to the UFC. I thought he should have been. I was betting on Khalil Roundtree as the glory killer. That's what Khalil Roundtree does.
Yeah. I remember this well because I was on Dustin.
Yeah, and I don't think he should have gotten that win. I felt that I snuck away with one there. And I mean, just look at it. Like, since coming back to the UFC, that he should have won like eight in a row or something insane like that. Just a clean class, classy might not be, but a clean quality kickboxer. And Mirzakhanov is not, I don't know, I'm not sold on him at all. He's given up some physical advantages here. He's going to be invested in striking against Jacoby, and I think Jacoby's just better at it. So
I mean, that fight against Tafon and Chukwi, like, he was down two rounds to none, no doubt, because I was on Azamat there, and then he got the KO.
Flying knee, baby. Let's go. Yeah. And yeah, you can't discount that, but like,
he dog walked Devin Clark.
Yeah,
like, I just from like that Jacoby. Second round on, he dog walked him. I like Jacoby too. That's New York Rick's like guy. I was on him.
It is in New York Rick's guy.
Yeah, like I was on him pretty good against Dawoo Jung, Daan Jung, when I was there in person, and I got like that kind of weird flash knockout, but still first round knockout and cash for us. So yeah, I'm gonna keep an eye on that line, see what happens with it. But
I'm gonna wait until tomorrow, and I'm gonna take it whatever it's at. If it's still at -165, I'm still gonna take it. But I'm gonna hope that comes down to 150.
I think I might wait all the way till Friday. I might just sit, see what happens.
Patient man.
All right, let's keep it rolling on the main card. Another light heavyweight bout. Ion Cutelaba taking on Tanner Bowser. Tanner Bowser coming down to 205 in this one, making his debut. Right now, Cutelaba is -125, Bowser +105. I played Cutelaba last week, and saying that sounds kind of crazy, you know, trusting either of these dudes with your money is it's a risky affair. I took him at +105. Bowser moving down to light heavyweight. Was never that impressive at heavyweight. Not as if Cutelaba has been the most impressive either, but I just think there's a path to victory for him. If you just go back and watch the Nascimento fight that Bowser just had at heavyweight before the move down, he gets taken down every round. He gets controlled for 8 minutes. I don't think that should have been a split decision. I thought Nascimento definitely won. One judge saw it 30-27. And I think that's what Cutelaba can do. Like, no need to stand and throw haymakers with him, because you're probably just going to get knocked out if that happens. He does have a strong capability to get knocked out, but I think the path to victory is there. Just go in and just blast takedowns early and often.
You said something that I could not agree with you more there, and it's, how could you possibly trust your money to either of these dudes? And I am on board with that. And so instead, what I did is I trusted my money to greater powers than me. I trusted my money to ChatGPT.
This is it.
The ChatGPT bet of the week.
Let's go. Brilliant idea.
I gotta say, Connor, I'm sad for you, because it's not the—
You're about to break my heart.
I am about to break your heart. Here's what ChatGPT has to say about this particular bout. As soon as the bell rang, Cutelaba charged forward, throwing a powerful overhand right. Bowser quickly stepped to the side, avoiding the punch and countering with a swift kick to Cutelaba's midsection. Cutelaba stumbled back, but regained his composure through another punch that narrowly missed Bowser's head. Bowser continued to use speed and agility, darting in and out, landing sharp kicks and punches.
Sounds like Bowser.
Yeah, speed and agility is Tanner Bowser. I think we can all agree.
That's the bulldozer.
Cutelaba tries to keep up with heavy punches and grappling for takedowns, but Bowser's quick reflexes and evasive maneuvers make it difficult to land anything substantial.
Great takedown defense.
As the fight wears on, both guys get tired. They show signs of fatigue, but the determination never wavers. Cutelaba does manage to land a few good punches and get a takedown to Bowser.
All right, believe this.
But Bowser gets back to his feet, and Cutelaba never gains a significant advantage. In the end, the judges' scorecards were close, but Tanner Bowser emerges as the victor, a hard-fought unanimous decision.
Wow, unanimous.
And so, the ChatGPT bet this week, we are taking Tanner Bowser at +105, and we're putting a half unit on Bowser by decision at +325.
Wow.
Let's go.
I thought that'd be a bigger number, I can't lie. I thought it'd be a little bit bigger.
So did I, but you know, Cutelaba largely is a get or get guy, so I think that's why the number comes down if Bowser's gonna win.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I thought
we're only putting a half unit on that.
That's why I thought it'd be bigger, because Cutelaba is literally get or get got. Like, that's just kind of what he does.
I'm so excited. When I was looking at this card, I was like, I definitely don't want to break this fight down, because I don't know what the hell is going to happen in it. So,
I mean, like, the fact that I am trusting a unit of my own money with Ion Cutelaba to follow a strong game plan, a smart game plan, is my own wrongdoing. It's the same thing as betting on Aspen Ladd. This is all my fault, but that's what I'm doing here.
Well, I'm trusting an algorithm which just told me that Bowser's quick reflexes and evasive maneuvers will make it difficult for Cutelaba to have success.
We're not good bettors here. We've said it a million times. We like to have some fun.
I'm going to have the most. I got to tell you, the ChatGPT bet is my favorite thing I've ever come up with. It is the most fun every week.
I'm praying it goes to a decision and Cutelaba robs him for a split. So you can at least be like,
that would still be fun. It would still be fun.
Honestly, if it goes to a decision, I think that's fun enough. All right, let's keep it rolling. Main card, men's bantamweight bout. Pedro Munhoz taking on Chris Gutierrez. Right now, Gutierrez is a minus 215 favorite. Munhoz coming back plus 185. I think this is going to be an exciting fight, dude. Kicks galore from both of these guys. I mean, Gutierrez, like, he's fast, he's dangerous, but Munhoz is no walkover. Minus 215. I don't know, man. I didn't bet a side here, but to me, it feels like it could be dog or pass.
Love that read because I've taken the dog.
I don't blame you at all. I mean, there's a world where I get around to it.
Yeah,
I've been considering it.
I don't know if I'm just like totally missing the mark here because I like Chris Gutierrez.
Love Chris Gutierrez.
I mean, Munhoz has very, very solid boxing and is as committed to the low kicks as Chris Gutierrez is. And this is a bit of a logical leap making here because there's not a ton to show it on the tape. I'm going to assume that if you are as committed of a low kicker as Pedro Munhoz is, you also know how to defend low kicks. That's a big part of your game as well.
That makes sense.
And so I think that that's going to really defang Chris Gutierrez in a lot of ways because he is very much a kicker. And I also just think Pedro Munhoz has the grappling advantage. Underrated on the ground. I think this is a very competitive fight. Maybe Chris Gutierrez should be a favorite, but I don't think he should be up at the minus 200 range. So it's a dog or pass bet for me for sure. And I think there's enough value to take a shot on Munhoz.
All right, man. I respect that. I don't know if I'm going to get around to it, but I like that number. Plus 185 hurts a lot less when you lose on a plus 185. Now, here's one thing I did want to throw out to you. A potential for the pass fist parlay. Munhoz, 6 straight over 1.5, 8 of his last 10. Gutierrez, yes, he did get the first round finish over Frankie Edgar last time out, but his 8 UFC fights prior to that all went over the 1.5.
I don't hate it. I want to hear what else we have going.
Cool.
I don't want to commit to that one, but I don't hate that.
Had to make you aware of it. Maybe we can get it into in a minute. All right. Let's keep rolling on the main card. Lightweight bout, Clay Guida. Your favorite fighter, my favorite fighter, Jed's favorite fighter, Clay Guida, taking on Rafa Garcia. Right now, Garcia can be taken at minus 250, Guida plus 210. This is revenge bet number one.
Oh, good. I'm so excited you said this.
I had a feeling you had to be on it. It's time.
I'm not on it, but I want to take my revenge.
All right, so I got it.
I'm very upset with Clay Guida.
I said it earlier in the podcast. I took it at minus 190. That was earlier in the week. These lines are kind of all over the place. Yes, you know, I do apologize for that. But we're here to avenge the great Scott Holtzman. We're here to avenge the great Jed Meshew. And we're here to get it back.
I love that energy. I'm not on it just because the number is too high, but I can be petty. I love revenge. And he's gonna win, right? Like maybe I'll just use Rafa Garcia in a parlay. Maybe I'll just parlay him in instead of a pacifist parlay I'm trying to build. So I love this energy. I mean, he's younger, arguably a better grappler. I mean, there are gonna be some scrambles going on in this fight for sure. And I'm going to forever bet against 41-year-old Clay Guida at this point. I just can't back him.
Yeah. I'm just out for revenge. That's really it. I probably wouldn't have backed Rafa Garcia at minus 190 if it wasn't for that, but we can't,
it's definitely a price.
We can't,
it's definitely a big price.
We can't disgrace the good name of Scott Holtzman. Now, I also wanted to throw out, this is another potential one. Of the three, this is number two of the potentials for the over 1.5. Rafa Garcia, we don't really have to worry about. I believe it's 8 straight.
Yeah, just the man's a decision machine.
Decision machine. What we have to worry about is our whole night getting ruined by Clay Guida getting a rear naked choke in the first round or something.
This was one that I was looking at. So we're of a like mind. I wasn't looking at 1.5, so I don't actually know that price. I was just looking at the over 2.5. What's the 1.5 price?
So it hasn't dropped yet. That's another reason, you know, we kind of got some time to work at books that are not available to me. It is sitting at minus 380.
Yeah, I think I like that as the third leg for mine.
Okay. All right. Well, we haven't gotten to leg two yet, but I have a feeling we're going to have a similar one for leg two.
Potentially. But yeah, I think I like that price a lot. This fight's, like I said, I was considering going over 2.5, over 1.5. Love over 1.5.
What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prop G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special 3-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the Future of Entrepreneurship, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prop G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G Podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, well, let's keep it rolling. Let's move on to the prelims. Another featherweight bout. A lot of featherweight bouts on this card. TJ Brown is taking on Bill Algeo. Senor Perfect. Right now you can have Algeo minus 210. TJ Brown plus 180. Another fight that the line has moved a lot on. I want to say Algeo opened up at like a minus 140 price. I did take Algeo. I think he's more well-rounded. I think he's got the ground game to hang with TJ Brown going for the takedowns. And I think as the fight goes on, TJ Brown's going to wear out and Bill Algeo is going to be able to wear on him. Now the dude has really big finishing capabilities. Both dudes tough. I think Algeo bounces back after the Andre Feely fight and gets it done.
I have nothing to disagree with. I have not done any tape study on this. Full transparency. Got a little caught up in some other things, had some other stuff I was working on. So there are a couple of, I don't have a lot of prelim action. There are a couple of spots that I can look at and say, I'm kind of interested. I want to dive a little deeper. I just haven't had the time. My ballpark read would be that Bill Algeo should get this done, but I'm just going to trust what you're saying for the time being.
All right. Here's one more that I want to throw out to you. This is the third potential. The one that is not locked in. Over 1.5 here, 14 combined UFC fights for the guys, 13 have gone over the 1.5.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what's that price?
Again, not available to me yet, but at books that are not available to me, minus 370.
I don't hate that one. I mean, this one is probably not getting an early finish.
I'm thinking, and the only time that Bill Algeo has had the finish was against Herbert Burns. Who is Mr. Killer Be Killed.
And also, wasn't that a corner stoppage?
I believe so, yeah. I mean, I was at that.
Those never happen.
I was at that one live. Herbert Burns was just done. He was just done. And then TJ Brown has some third and late second round submissions, but mostly decisions.
I like that one. I think that's pretty good. I don't like it as much as a Guido Garcia. I love the Guido Garcia one.
Oh, you firm on love the Guido Garcia.
I love
over
the Guido Garcia
one. Wow.
I think over 1.5 there. I love over 1.5 there.
Okay.
But so far, I like this one as well.
All right. I love the over 1.5 in Arnold Allen versus Max Holloway.
I want to marry that over 1.5.
Let me just go ahead because one. It was supposed to be the last fight we were going to talk about. I'm just going to get out of the way. My second leg that I'm for sure doing is the Jocelyn Edwards, Lucy Putalova. Over
Let's
1.5.
Go, baby. I mean, come on. Of course.
12 of their combined 13 UFC fights gone over the 1.5. Like it's there. We're probably going to pay a price tag of like minus 600, minus 700. I don't care.
I'm just going to take them over 2.5.
That's
I'm not
probably
even
smart.
1.5.
That's probably smart.
It's Connor, I did the legwork. Well, one, all five of Jocelyn Edwards' fights have gone to decision inside the UFC. 8 of the last 10 for Pudilova gone to decision. 6 of 8 inside the UFC have gone to decision for Pudilova. It's a lot of decisions. But Connor, I dug deeper.
Deep.
I did even more legwork.
Tell me.
I looked at every women's bantamweight fight that happened last year. There weren't that many of them, so it actually, but it took a while to figure out how many there were. Connor, last year there were 12 women's bantam. I'm sorry, 13 women's bantamweight fights last year.
Wow, such a rare beauty.
It is. They don't happen.
You only get them as often as you get a UFC pay per view. 13 bantamweight.
You get
fights,
one a month, 13 basically. And of 8 of them ended up going to decision. If you add in featherweight bouts too, as the women's featherweight, it's a big number. They're all going to the scorecards. It's just how they go.
8 of 13 though. What's the percentage on that?
I don't know what the percentage is, but as I was diving into this, there were a couple of
it's only 61%.
There were a couple of interesting outliers who that played a large role in the multiple finishes going on there. I'm trying to think who, because I didn't write this down. Give me a second and I'll pull it up.
I know Irene Aldana had a finish.
Irene Aldana had a finish for sure. Give me a second.
The upkick liver shot on Macy Chazon, I believe. Amanda Nunez went to a decision with Juliana Pena.
Nunez was a big decision. It was Myra Brena Silva. Myra Brena Silva was doing some of God's work with finishes lately. So a couple of Stephanie Egger, who was also on one of those Myra Brena Silvas, Stephanie Egger was actually the one. She fought 3 of the 13 women's bantamweight fights were Stephanie Egger, and she got finished in all 3 of them.
Shout out to Stephanie.
All 3 of them
Egger.
Last year.
Thank you. Thank you for your service, Stephanie.
She was doing a lot of work as far as that goes for them last year. But in general, we're seeing the scorecards. These two women in particular, they're seeing the scorecards. I just went, the over 2.5 is just going to be one of my parlay legs.
All right. There's a world. All right. Edwards Pudilova. Alan Holloway, no doubt's going in there.
Love them both. Love them both.
You love Guida Garcia.
I really like Guida Garcia. Love's not the right word, but I might go as far to say
that I love Brown Algio.
Oh, okay.
I mean, 13 of their 14 UFC fights. But if I go all 4, I'm getting too greedy.
Is there such a thing?
Once the lines come available to me, that's when I'll see what I'm going to do.
But
I think four of those are very solid.
I don't
hate
that as a 4-leg parlay. I'm just going to be out as a 4-leg over 1.5 pacifist parlay.
That has anxiety issues when it comes to betting overs, it will be pure torture for me. People are always like,
This is a bet I love. I love overs. It's so much fun.
Yes, you're
electric.
You're a psycho. I squirm in my seat until it hits the moment. I can't stand it. And then I constantly say as it's happening, I'm like, God, I hate overs. Why do I bet these? If I can get that, all right, here's the deal. If I can get that at plus money, then I will do it.
If it's plus money, I'm joining you.
If I can't, then I'm just going to choose 3 and just eat the chalk.
I respect that approach. If it's a plus money, I'm joining you.
All right, I love
for
it.
For sure.
I love it.
I will remove my own pacifist parlay, and instead I'll just replace it with that. If it's those 4 legs over 1.5 plus money, let's do it.
A reminder, that's Pudilova Edwards, Algio Brown, Garcia Guida, and Alan Holloway, all over 1.5.
Boom. I hope that the MMA Hour Parlay Pals is just this bet.
I would actually be really cool with that. That would be
awesome.
I'm going to use one of those as my MMA Hour Parlay leg. That is for sure. All right. Enough talk about overs, though, because I ain't really an overs guy. What I am is a flyweight unders guy, and that's exactly what we've got here. Men's flyweight bout. Mateus Nicolau. Up-and-coming prospect, fantastic fighter. But he ain't the A-side here, folks. He ain't the A-side. The A side is Brandon Raw Dog Royval making it back to the octagon. This is a friend of the program. This is a friend of the flyweight unders. UFC career. He's seen 1/3 round. 5 of his 6 UFC fights have ended in either round 1 or round 2. He pushes the pace. He is aggressive, and he is constantly looking for finishes. Over was a no-brainer. Nicolau, on the other side, he isn't the biggest finisher, but he does have 5 KOs. He does have 5 submissions. He is a BJJ black belt. I do think he has the grappling chops to hang with Royval. If I'm giving you my exact prediction, I think Royval pushes the pace. I think Royval is very aggressive in this fight, but the counterpunching of Nicolau pays off, and he finishes Brandon Royval. Round 1 or round 2?
Probably the exact same read. And I didn't even think twice about this. Brandon Royval is what flyweight unders are all about.
Oh, no. When I say like I didn't think twice about this, as soon as the line popped up, I was like, under.
Boom.
Bang. No question.
Smashed it.
Don't need to watch tape.
That's where we're at.
That's where
Zero
we're at.
Zero tape study done.
I threw a little shekel on Mateus Nicolau money line as well.
Don't hate it. I do think he's going to win.
There's another line that has gotten inflated, as almost every line has this week.
I don't know that I want to bet him at where he's at minus 210, but...
Woo. Sorry about that, folks. No, that wasn't a hurricane. That was just my shoulder hitting the microphone.
Hurricane competes on Friday in the PFL.
Nice. That was nice. Yeah, I've been working out. My shoulders are getting a little broader over here. No big deal. Summer's around the corners, ladies and gents. Make sure you're getting in the gym. All right, that's that. Not much else to say on that one. So let's just keep it rolling to a women's strawweight bout. Jillian Robertson fighting, not at flyweight. She's making the move down to 115, taking on undefeated Piera Rodriguez. Right now, Jillian Robertson has flipped to the favorite in this matchup. Minus 125, the undefeated 9-0 Piera Rodriguez, plus 105 coming back. I took Jillian when she was at plus money. I mean, the record is...
I like that much better at plus money than as a minus.
I mean, the record is not great, 11-7, but like she's much more experienced. She's coming down and she's going to be the bigger fighter in this situation. Piera Rodriguez likes to take this to the mat. And if this goes to the mat, I think Jillian Robertson, there's levels to this. And I think she is a level above Piera Rodriguez in this one. I really do think she is incredibly live for a submission in this fight. Kind of just a quick pull trigger for me. I didn't really do a ton of tape study on it, but just knowing the fighter's pass, that's what I felt. That's what I rolled with.
I don't hate that from as an underdog. I don't feel confident really enough to be giving her minus money on it, but I do think she's live for a submission. Be interested to see what a submission prop line looks like. But until then,
at books. Not available to me. Jillian Robertson, no subline, but inside the distance is plus 160.
That's maybe something.
Maybe sub will be like plus 180 or so.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. If sub's like plus 2, which probably wouldn't be it, but if it is for whatever reason around plus 2, might take a shot on that.
All right. Let's keep it rolling. Final fight that I got to get into. I don't know about you, but it's a lightweight bout.
One more.
Sweet. Lando Venata taking on Daniel Zellhuber. This is revenge bet number 2 for me. I'm going dark. I'm going seedy. Feels like I'm in Gotham right now with how many revenge bets I had this weekend.
I so respect this bet.
Listen, if you were there, if you took place in what happened in Zellhuber Ogden,
was tough.
If you had Zellhuber finishing every one of your parlays like a dolt, like I did, you knew that this was a play that you had to make. Now listen, follow cautiously as Zellhuber could just become enemy number 1 when he wins this weekend. This could be a great buy low spot for the guy. He's only 23 years old. He could have just the moment be too big, and now he's going to shine, shake off the butterflies, and he ends up having a great performance. He is going against the guy that he has, you know, physical attributes that lend to winning the fight, especially if it stays at range. I mean, he's going to have a 4-inch height advantage, a 6-inch reach advantage, but with the way he looked against Trey Ogden, I cannot back him again. He couldn't get any punches off. He couldn't get activated. And yeah, he essentially just didn't do anything to win the fight, and Trey Ogden was held victorious. And then in a somewhat similar style matchup, Bahamondes took on Trey Ogden and rolled this past weekend. So yeah, that's the end of my my soliloquy here on my revenge bet. Lando Venata is what I think.
I love it. It's important to be petty.
I am very petty this week.
Yeah, just get after him for it. I am not joining you on this, but I support you in all things.
There's a very real world where we're coming back here next week, and it's just like, Zahuber bounce back. Buy low.
I just don't have any kind of a read here. Like I said, I haven't done enough tape study, but, you know, if it'll be, if you do lose, you can take solace knowing that you found a new mortal enemy.
I'm cool with
now,
that. I'm cool
you
with
will
that.
Now have a guy to root against forever, and that's important.
The golden boy, young, he's going to have a long UFC career, and I'm going to be able to root against him every step of the way.
And you said that was your last one, good sir?
Tell me your last one.
Well, we already talked about it briefly. It's Jocelyn Edwards versus Lucy Pudilova.
Oh,
outside
great.
Of us just talking, you know, the Edwards Pudilova, the overs that we discussed. I'm also taking a shot on Jocelyn Edwards at underdog odds +115. Look, I'm not entirely sure why this fight isn't just a pick 'em. Edwards, when she's lost in the UFC, it's been because they have taken her down over and over and over again. And that's not Lucy Pudilova's game. Edwards going to have a clear reach advantage and a volume advantage. I mean, she really piles up the strikes in her wins against Pudilova. I think this fight's just an actual coin flip, and you can get Edwards at +115. So I'm taking the underdog shot.
No shame in that game. Women's MMA underdogs are
a lot of underdogs.
Who all you got?
A lot of underdogs this week.
Who all you on?
Allen, Bozer, obviously, Munoz, and Edwards, and Shane Burgos, if we're counting PFL. So I got 5 underdogs this week.
I'm on Allen. I took Kudalaba at plus money. I took Jillian Robertson at plus money, and I took Lando Venata at plus money, obviously.
We're giving out a lot of underdog options.
A few of those lines have moved, so yeah, a few of those lines have moved. I technically am not giving them out, which I feel bad about, but yeah.
But that's it. We're ready for Kansas City.
That's UFC Kansas City.
Boots on the ground. Do you have, if Daniel Zellhuber wins, should I ask him if he is doing this intentionally just to hurt you?
Oh, yeah, you're going to sit in the media room afterwards.
I'll be doing the media. I'll be asking the questions. He comes up. If he pulls out a win over Lando, should I be like, do you know who Conor Burks is and why do you hate him?
Yeah, I actually don't even ask if he knows who I am. Just ask plain and simple, why do you hate Conor Burks?
Why do you hate Conor Burks? What is your problem, sir, with Conor Burks?
Oh, man, that's actually great. You're going to be boots on the ground. What question can we get you to ask? Definitely at any pre-fight press conferences, look, ask if any of them are locks. That's always
hilarious. I will not be at any of the pre-fight stuff. So
man, everyone loves when people do that.
I will, if Brandon Royval wins, I will ask him if he knows what he means to Flyweight Under Nation.
Yes, yes. Like, if he wins by finish, you actually have to ask him.
Like, do you know what Flyweight Under is, and do you know what you mean to all of us in the nation?
Your finishing capabilities are legendary around these parts. All right, that's it. UFC Kansas City. Easy, clean hour in, out. Looking forward to it. I'm going to try to mount a little thing we like to call a streak. Back-to-back winning UFC cards.
Love a streak.
I'm pretty sure that would be my first one of 2023, which is mind-boggling to me because
speaks
I don't know what
to the year.
I don't know what happened at midnight on December 31st, 2022. I traded that Georgia win for being good at MMA betting. That's what happened.
Look, that field goal shanks left,
yes,
and all of our betting is,
yes,
right there. And look, I'd take that trade 10 times out of 10.
I think I probably would, but man, this is not that fun. There were a couple times I had multiple streaks last year of five winning weeks and more, like on several occasions. I miss those days.
Maybe we're just getting all the losses out now, and it's about to be,
it's a long-term game.
April on.
Oh my
gosh. We might never lose again.
Don't let me get hot this summer. Do not let me get hot this summer. That's all I'm going to say.
Just saying. If we
don't
never
let me get hot
again,
this summer,
it'll be with the shoulders from working out. Have it all going for you.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm trying to say. Next week, there's going to be some bad blood on this podcast. We head back to the Apex. Sergey Pavlovich, Curtis Blaydes, main event.
Oh, there is so much bad blood coming into that fight.
I can't wait. I
am not excited about the heavyweight over next week.
I wouldn't be. I certainly would not be.
Not Sergey Pavlovich is enemy of the heavyweight over state.
Oh, man.
For sure.
No doubt. Fantastic fight. Cannot wait for that one. Enjoy Kansas City, brother. Get some good barbecue. Enjoy the fights. The fact that you're going to be that close to that high level of a fight, I'm jealous. Get there safe. Cash some bets.
I will also say, guys, I got to say, I'm not willing to say that it's a fact, but I'm just throwing it out there. The last couple of events I've gone to, the magic has happened. When I show up to an event, Ooh. The fighters, they stand up, they take notice. They're like, oh, okay, Jed's here. Jed's front row. We got to put on a
show. Got to show out for Jed, yeah.
It's a thing that has happened before is all I'm going to say. And so just, be on the lookout. I don't want to say that it will happen for sure, but...
There's a real chance.
UFC 236 was in Atlanta. That was Holloway Poirier 2 plus Izzy Gastelum. The two best fights of 2019. It tends to happen, so keep your eyes. Be prepared. Be ready.
I will be prepared. I hope that that comes to fruition. I hope that the main event is just awesome. That's all I'm hoping for. Back to the Apex next week. Can't wait. Talk then.
Love y'all.
Media Podcast Network.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prop G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special three-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the future of entrepreneurship of Prop G Pod, special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prop G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.